Betting on sports can be hard, but hiring Morgan & Morgan is easy. Morgan & Morgan is America's largest injury law firm. They've got over 100 offices nationwide and more than 1,000 lawyers. Plus, their fee is free unless they win. If you want more information, head over to forthepeople.com/bestbets or dial #law, #529 from your cell phone. That's forthepeople, forthepeople.com/bestbets. This is a paid advertisement.
This is the Lombardi Line on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
We begin hour number two of the Lombardi Line. Dave Ross and Michael Lombardi here with you. And Michael, we do have one more game tonight to wrap up this week's action in the NFL. It's the Giants. They're going to be in Pittsburgh taking on the Steelers. Here we go. Going to lay six if you're Pittsburgh. Low total here as we're not expecting a ton of points in this one, 36 and a half. And Michael, I can't believe it. We're already to that time of year. You should start checking the weather here, people, to make sure you have good weather in the Northeast. What do you make of these two teams of where they stand now? I got to be honest with you. I kind of had higher hopes for the G-men, and I'm pleasantly surprised with the Steelers.
Well, you have to be surprised with the Steelers. I mean, look, they're really good defensively. They're able to control the game. They love ugly games. I mean, this, David, this is the biggest point spread in favor of the home team, the Steelers, since you have to go back to Big Ben when they were favored before. I mean, this is how long it's been since they've been a 6-point favorite against anybody. Now, what I don't think people realize, this is a family rivalry, right? The Rooneys and the Maras. Mm-hmm. Right, that there's a lot of family relationships between the two. So this is kind of a personal game for the Giants. It's a personal game for the Steelers. Look, I think the game's going to break down this way. The Giants' defensive front's to strengthen their team. The weakness of the Steelers is their offensive line. And if the Giants are going to have a chance, their defensive line's got to play really well. They're going to have to harass Russell Wilson, get him to turn the ball over, make mistakes. And they just got to get the game into the fourth quarter, into a field goal game, and see if they can move it. They're going to have to get rid of the football quickly. They cannot block Daniel Jones. Jermaine Illuminor missed practice on Wednesday. I think he practiced on Friday. He's supposed to play tonight. They actually gave Evan Neal reps, their former first-round pick. Mm-hmm. Be shocking if they played him. But they're going to have to protect the offensive line. They're going to have to find a way to make easy throws. And the one thing I will say, Brian Daboll, when he was with New England always, with Josh McDaniels and Daboll and all those, always had a good plan against Mike Tomlin's style of defense. So I think they'll be able to move the football. I'm not saying they're going to move it with great success. But again, for the Giants, it's really about picking your spots, making plays. But they're going to have to need Russell Wilson to have a meltdown and the defensive front to dominate the game.
You know, you look at these two teams, the Giants are 2-5 and the Steelers are 5-2. I'm not saying that they're equal talent, because clearly the Steelers defense might be the best unit out of any of the units that you can put out there tonight. But you two kind of look at it and say, well, the Steelers feel limited offensively. The Giants clearly are limited offensively. What is the difference? Because I don't want to put it all at the feet of coaching, right? And say, well, this is Mike Tomlin versus Brian Daboll. Because we talked about it with the Cowboys, maybe they're just not that good. How do you assess why one team is three games better than the other when they kind of look like semi-mirror images?
Well, because, look, they can't score. I mean, the Giants have scored 10 points in the last 2 weeks. Mm. They've only scored over 20 points twice all season. They scored 21 against Cleveland in a win on the road. They scored 29 up in Seattle. We know Seattle's really not a good defense, you know, and I think that's the problem. And, you know, they really have no explosiveness. And, again, this goes back to why did they pay Daniel Jones? I mean, Daniel Jones has always been a guy that can complete passes, but his yards per attempt is well under 7. This year he's at 6.0 yards per attempt. There's no plays down the field. No plays down the field. They've targeted Neighbors 60 times this year, and he's missed two games. Mm-hmm. 60 times, and he averages 10.9 yards a catch. And he's supposed to be their big play guy. And I think if he had anybody else playing quarterback, he probably would be. I mean, Robinson's been targeted 67 times. He averages 7 yards a catch. They have no receiver that averages down the field. Slayton's another guy that can – he averages over 12 at least. He's one of the few. They can't make an explosive play, and then they have no explosiveness in their run game. They have none. I mean, they gave up their best player over basically $2 million. Mm. And, again, I'll go back to if you want to be able to help the quarterback – the loose play of a back really gives you more ability to do that. And I know it goes against what people want to do and not pay a running back. But if you're the Giants, Do you really want to overpay Illuminor and you want to overpay Van Roten? Or would you rather overpay Barkley? I think that's pretty easy to decide.
Giants are now 18-1 to make the playoffs, win total of 5.5. And by the way, if you go, well, I could take that 18-1, you got to look at the NFC North and say, well, three teams aren't going to make win that division. Are the Giants good enough to beat any one of those three teams? That would be my litmus test to start before you hop in at an 18-1 number.
Well, they have been able to beat Dallas or Philly over the last 8 years, really. They've really struggled to beat both those teams. They've had a hard time doing that. They've actually played better on the road than they've played at home. I mean, at home they've scored 6 points against Minnesota, 7 against Cincinnati, and we know Cincy's not any good on defense, and 3 against the Eagles. I mean, that's what they've scored. They scored 15 against the Cowboys. So at home they basically have scored 31 points at home in 4 games.
Let me ask you,
31 points in 4 games at home.
They do not play well.
They can't, and so they've been better on the road. So to me, I think this number's a little bit too long. I think to me, the Giants should be able to keep it within the margin. I took it on Chris Russo's show on Friday. I took the Giants and laid the 6 because I think 6 is a good number.
Yep.
It seems to be more profitable. But I don't think the Giants can win. But one thing about Mike Tomlin and the Steelers, when they're favorites, they're not as good as when they're dogs.
Totally. Let me ask you that question about Mike Tomlin. When he made the change from Justin Fields to, let's ride, Russell Wilson, I know everybody said, oh, what's he doing? This is not the right move. It looked good through 1 week. Why do you think because he never came out and said, this is Justin's job, right? Even when Justin was playing well, he said, this is an open quarterback competition, and I'll go to the guy that I think is going to give us the best chance to win. Is it as simple as that, Michael, that he sees something that Russell Wilson could do that Justin still can't?
Well, he watched practice, you know, and he watched the games. And, you know, people just tend to grade the production in the game, and they don't see what he didn't see. And I think, as he said afterwards, when they asked him that question, he said, that's why I'm well compensated, because he sees things that the fans don't. Justin Fields wasn't playing well. You could justify the numbers. You could say that he is. I mean, they try to make it out that Daniel Jones plays well at times. You know, you could see there's a lot of lies that go on. How long of a lie have the Browns been telling you that Deshaun Watson gives them the best chance to win? They put Jameis Winston in there. Now, look, let's say this: if Kyle Hamilton catches the pass, the interception on the final drive of the game, we're not having this glory day for the Brownies today. He had it in his hands twice, and he dropped it, unfortunately, for Raven fans. But to me, you know, don't lie to me and tell me that Deshaun Watson gave you the best chance to win. You had to play Deshaun Watson because you paid him. You have to pay Daniel Jones because you paid him, right? And to me, in Pittsburgh, they don't have that equation. They're not paying either one of the guys. So that's a pure assessment. And I think at the end of the day, Mike sees Justin Fields as way too inconsistent, way too erratic, and prone to really limit what they do offensively, which affects them. So I kind of believe that he saw it in practice. He saw it everywhere. We don't get to see that, and I think that's the issue.
Speaking of pure assessment, that's what Sean Payton did with this draft, and he went out and got Bo Nix as the fourth quarterback, right, 12th over. And it's like people went, oh, Bo Nix, what's he, like 30? As a rookie, and Sean really kind of put his reputation out there and said, this is my guy. I'm going to start him week one. And he's getting better, Michael. You can see it, and I'm sure you have with Bo Nix in Denver. They got a great defense, but what do you make of that evaluation? Because, again, you say what you want about Sean Payton. The guy knows quarterbacks.
Right, he does. And you're dead on right, David. I mean, look, the guy is – this is what bothers me about Anthony Richardson. He's not getting any better. Like, Bo Nix from week one to now has improved. I mean, he has improved. The last 2 weeks against bad – well, actually, the last 3 weeks – they've gained over 300 yards of offense. They've thrown the ball 206 against the Chargers, which wasn't easy. The Carolina Panthers, they threw for almost 300 yards yesterday. Now, I thought Sean said the same thing I've been saying. I mean, this Carolina Panther team is about as poorly coached and as poorly run as any franchise I've ever seen in my life. Sean Payton said that's not a very good offense. They're not. They're just not. And all this conversation that Dave Canales is going to fix the quarterback. Look, how about fix the franchise? How about fix the franchise? How about hire somebody to come in and fix the franchise? You got Mike Vrabel sitting out there, and you could have hired him, and you picked Dave Canales because you think Dave Canales is going to make Bryce Young a better player. How about fix the franchise first? Mm. This is a joke. Carolina's a joke. They're going to continue to be a joke. And Sean exposed them just to everything I've said. I mean, that's not a good team at all that they played, and they beat them up. I mean, the fact that, I don't know what you thought about this, but the fact that the Broncos were a 10-point favorite, like I'm thinking, how can they be a 10-point favorite against anybody? And I said last week that the Panthers wouldn't make the Final 12 in college.
I got to be honest with you. I thought that it was too heavy. I thought there was too many points. It went up to 11. I saw 12 in some places. Carolina scored late, by the way, to make that a little bit more cosmetic to get to 14. It was never really in doubt. Right. And sometimes, Michael, the bets you don't make are ones that I rue in the offseason. I wanted to bet the team win total over 5.5 on a play on Sean Payton. Without knowing what Bo Nix would look like, I wanted to trust Sean Payton. And I didn't bet it. And I'm kicking myself for not doing it. They've already got 4 wins. The total was 5.5. This is a pretty darn good-looking football team that I think a lot of people thought were going to be awful. And, you know, they look like they could be an outside shot at making the playoffs.
Well, some people think coaching doesn't matter, which I think is completely the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard in my life. Coaching matters. A great coach matters more than anything. And Sean Payton's a great coach. Yep. And that's why it was, to me, I gave it out as one of my plays. I like Seattle to go over their win total, too. Mm-hmm. Now, I think Seattle, I'm a little disappointed in Seattle's coaching staff. I think they're really inexperienced, and I think it shows up. I thought Brady was absolutely 1,000% correct yesterday when he was talking, and he did it in a really nice way. He said Sean McDermott against, you know, the offensive coordinator of Seattle is a little bit of a mismatch, right? Ryan Grubb, I think his name is. Yep. And it is, because he's only coached in college. That was a mismatch. That's why it was one of my favorite plays of the day, Seattle, because there was no way Seattle was going to generate enough offense. It's a different game, college to pro. And I think Seattle's staff is really inexperienced.
Boy, I wish I had made that wager. You were spot on with that evaluation of Sean Payton and the Broncos. When we come back, we're going to step into Michael's office. That's next here on the Lombardi Line.
This is the Lombardi Line on VSiN, the sports betting network.
We continue the Lombardi Line. Dave Ross and Michael Lombardi. Going to have Carl Johnson from Beau Rivage join us in the next segment. But Michael, it is time to step into your office.
The appointments are lined up.
You waiting for somebody in there?
Got an appointment.
And it's not about what you want to hear, but what you need to hear.
It's not personal. It's strictly business.
It's time you and me had a private talk winger. Step into my office.
It's Step Into My Office with Michael Lombardi. Mr. Lombardi, we'll see you now.
Making the playoffs after a 2-6 or a 3-5 start is hard to do. Losing a game on a Hail Mary pass, Chicago fans, we know that's rough. Hiring Morgan & Morgan is easy. If you're ever injured, you can check out Morgan & Morgan. Morgan & Morgan is America's largest injury law firm. They've got over 100 offices nationwide, more than 1,000 lawyers. Submitting an injury claim with Morgan & Morgan is so easy. If you're ever injured, you can check out Morgan & Morgan. Their fee is free unless they win. So, for more information, go for forthepeople.com/bestbets or dial #law, that's #529, from your cell phone, and that's For The People, forthepeople.com/bestbets or #law, #529 from your cell. Okay, Michael, it is time to step into your office. Your first person walking in today is Aaron Rodgers.
Mr. Rodgers. I thought we were going to play don't we have like a sound part we could play here? Elliot, why don't you run that sound?
This is a moment of darkness, and we understand that the outside world is going to get really loud right now. But the only thing I know in life is that when it gets dark and it gets hard, that you work and you point the finger at yourself and you look inward and you figure out what can I do better in an individual standpoint.
Yeah, I've been in the darkness. You got to go in there, make peace with it. Offensively, our goal has just got to be score 30. Doesn't matter what the other two sides are doing. You know, we have trust in our defense and teams. But if we're not scoring 30, we're underachieving. This offense can do that every single week.
Well, there is a darkness on the edge of town. There's no question. And that edge of town is you're not making the playoffs. Look, you know, to me, all these conversations about darkness, about being in this hole, they have to end up with winning a game, making critical plays when you need to make critical plays. And I don't know how Greg Zuerlein is still your kicker. Does anybody watch the games? Oof. He's the most inaccurate kicker in the National Football League this year, not even close. Chad Ryland has made the Cardinals a better team when they added him on their team. I mean, Carlson made the 49ers a better team when they added him on their team. Like, you're going to keep going with Zuerlein? Every time I thought about making the Jets play, I thought, to me, their kicker's horrendous. You can't count on him. He missed more kicks yesterday and misses an extra point. How is he still employed? Oh, I know, because he's a vested veteran and you can't really cut him unless it costs you money. So, look, that darkness is going to keep getting darker. And what I would say to most Jet fans is, and I don't say this to be cavalier about it, is that they haven't even seen the darkest point yet. I mean, the worst is yet to come. And it's going to continue to happen because you've built your team. You've built this whole organization around a 41-year-old. You've done everything for him. And guess what happened? Father Time has won. Father Time has won. He's not the same player. That just goes along with it naturally. You trade for Davante Adams so you could have, what, average 10 yards a catch? I mean, tell me what move you're making that really has improved the team. We won't hear from Joe Douglas. He's in the darkness. So to me, it's only going to get darker.
That was a pretty good assessment right there of where the Jets are, Michael. Okay, the Bengals, they get trounced in the second half at home yesterday to the Eagles. Joe Burrow says, hey, everything, just everybody relax. We're going to be just fine. Michael, Zach Taylor is walking into your offense. Your advice, sir.
Zach, you better not relax, because the biggest problem is you, because your team is so soft. Look, I learned this a long time ago when I watched Sean Payton down in New Orleans. Sean Payton was soft, but he also had Bill Parcells in his life. And there was a time where Sean Payton would run Y-stick to get first downs on third and three. He would run spacing on third and three. But then he realized, you know, I'm not beating anybody being soft. I got to get physical. I've got to find a run game to complement what I do. Meanwhile, you've gone the opposite direction. You've got nothing but nickel running backs on your team. You let Joe Mixon walk, who gave you some physicality. Look, I didn't think Mixon was good last year either. I thought he lost his legs. But I think what I misevaluated on Joe Mixon last year was you. Because you don't coach tough. Your team isn't tough. You know, you got a really good defense coordinator, Lou Amoromo, but that defense stinks because you probably don't practice hard enough. You probably don't do the things you need to do to make your team more physical. And teams have caught up with you. You just can't beat teams with receivers and playing a 7-on-7 game. At what point are you going to decide football's a contact sport? You want to win the 7-on-7 tournament? Go ahead. You ain't winning anything the way you're going.
Plus $1.10 to still make the playoffs, Bengal backers. I'm not one of those people. Bears, great fourth quarter comeback. And then we've got the Hail Mary, and you get victory just ripped away from you. Matt Eberflus is now walking into your office. Michael, what do you say on a day like today?
Well, what I would say is there's nothing you could do about it other than learn. I mean, this is a great opportunity. The first thing I would do is I would call the young man, Stevenson, into my office, and I would tell him, I'm not playing you until you earn the trust back on the team. You put him back on the field again, and basically you're telling the team you're allowing it to happen. You're allowing his stupid behavior to affect the team. Now he was doing it the whole game. He got a penalty during the game. He and McLaurin got into it. It was him all the way enticing people. For me, I think you've got to do something. You're going to have to show an example on Stevenson and get him off the field. I don't care if you drafted him in the second round. I don't really care about any of that. This is about the culture of the team. And then secondly, I think you better really go over situational football, because you clearly didn't have the right setup. You had no one behind it. The players didn't know what they were doing. Watch the sideline tape. Caleb Williams is out there coaching players like he would know what to do. Like, seriously, what's Caleb Williams talking about? You know, coaches coach, players play. And it really wasn't organized. And I think you have no one to blame but yourself. The play before you allowed them to get 12 yards freely when they couldn't really throw the ball. I mean, if you just jam the receivers, look, what do you want to do on that play? You know, you want to make sure that the clock winds down, you know, tackle the receiver. They'll call a defensive penalty. They only move the ball 5 yards on defensive holding. It's not pass interference. So you move them 5 yards. They would have never made it to the end zone. The ball didn't make it to the end zone. Situational football has not been the strength of the Chicago Bears, and you need to work on it.
Three timeouts, but at least he still has all of those. I like what you said earlier, Kodak. Just take a picture, see what that offense is going to do, and then maybe readjust your defensive alignment before that Hail Mary. Okay, Colts, another tough loss. They lose by three. Hey, you get the money if you bet the Colts yesterday, but you don't get a win. Anthony Richardson looks like and feels like still a project at this point. Michael, Shane Steichen is entering your offense. What's your advice for Shane?
Shane, your job is to win. Your job is to win. And the player who gives you the best chance to win is Joe Flacco. Now, if you want to develop Anthony Richardson for the future, that's great. But all you're doing is hurting the other 52 guys in the locker room. Everybody knows Flacco's the better player. It's not even debatable. Anthony Richardson and his 10 completions ain't going to cut it. Now, maybe you should integrate him into the game at some point. That's great. But to me, I think you got to come up with a new plan. You start Flacco. You find a little package for Richardson. You make him have to defend it. You maybe rotate it in. But when the game's on the line, you better put Flacco in there because this kid's not ready to play. And the scariest part about Anthony Richardson is I haven't seen him improve one bit. We saw the Utah game. He looked like he should have won the Heisman when he played Utah versus Florida. The next week against Mississippi State or whomever, he was horrible, just like he is here. 10 completions aren't going to cut it the last time I checked. Now, he needs to play. I get that. But he can't be costing you wins. And between him and Gus Bradley, there's no answer for either one.
Dallas Cowboys are under 500. They're 3-4. They lose a tough one last night, Sunday Night Football. Jerry Jones said infamously before this season, they're all in. Cowboys are all in. Jerry's walking into your office here on a Monday, Michael. What do you have to say to the owner of the Dallas Cowboys?
Well, look, I think to me, what you have to do is make a decision. Did this decision you made to not extend everybody after your unhappiness with the Cowboy game was the Packer game was the right decision? But I will say this to you. You're going to have to get better personnel. Whoever you bring in is going to have to increase the talent level of the team because right now you've got a couple really good players. You know, obviously Dak's not going anywhere. CeeDee Lamb's not going anywhere. You're going to re-sign Parsons. But the most important thing is you're going to have to improve the talent level. You're just not good enough right now. And I think that falls on you as a general manager. And I think you have to accept responsibility. You haven't lost these games because you've been outcoached. You've lost these games because the other team's better.
By the way, I love that analysis because I know the knee-jerk today is, oh, fire Mike McCarthy. But really, this doesn't fall on Big Mike. It's more on Jerry in the front office.
Yeah, I think to me, to me, Jerry had one of the worst off seasons of anybody. And it isn't because, you know, he didn't spend any money. It's because he didn't address any themes.
Right.
He could have easily, he needed a running back. I mean, Zeke, it's a great story to reunite with Zeke. I love it. But Zeke's a short yardage back. He can't be the back. And if you're going to try to take you can't throw the ball as many times as Dak's throwing it and think you're going to win. You got to control the pace of the game. And that offensive line isn't good enough to pass block 50 times a game.
Zeke had the longest run of the season for him, 11 yards yesterday. And we're kicking the tires on Dalvin Cook. That's what the Cowboys are right now with that running game. All right, Michael, when we come back, we're going down south to catch up with Carl Johnson here at Beau Rivage. That is next here on the Lombardi Line.
This is the Lombardi Line on VSiN, the sports betting network.
You can bet horse racing's premier year-end event right now, the Breeders' Cup, on Friday, November 1st, and Saturday the 2nd with First Bet. You sign up at firstbet.com, use the promo code VSiN200. You're going to claim a 20% rebate for your first 60 days, up to $200. That's firstbet.com. Use that promo code VSiN200. Back alongside Michael Lombardi, I am Dave Ross. This is the Lombardi Line. And Michael, we love going down south to catch up with our guy, Carl Johnson. You can follow him on X, as I do, at Jick Jack Johnson, the sports director at Beau Rivage. And Carl, great to talk to you again on the Progressive Guest Line. I guess we have to start off with, you know, the last couple of weeks, the books, cry for the books, right? Everybody's playing the favorites and everybody's doing real well against the book. Have the books struck back, Carl? How was this weekend so far?
Yeah, great weekend for the books, both Saturday and Sunday. And you're right, Dave, for the last couple of weeks, they've been getting it pretty good with us. And look, that's good for business. Mm-hmm. That keeps the flow going. We made a huge move Saturday and Sunday. And I think most books probably the same situation.
All right, let's start off with college before we go to pro. Florida, Georgia, that seems to me, that line at 16.5, and I know that Florida's won two games in a row. They beat Kentucky. That was an impressive win. And Georgia's coming off a huge game against Texas. But it seems a little light, Carl. Where do you think this line will close? And are they playing this in Jacksonville, or are they going to start playing home and home now?
I don't know. I think 16, we're at 16.5, 52.5 right now, Mike. I know Florida's made a couple of little runs here in the last couple of weeks, but I think this number's light also. I think it's going to be bet up here. The thing about us though, is we get both Florida and Georgia play pretty good play, but I think our bigger tickets and probably the ticket count will lead Georgia here. So I think this thing will climb up probably, 17.5, maybe something like that.
Carl, you seeing a lot of plays so far on the big one of the Big Ten, which is Ohio State. And we're seeing some fours at Penn State in Happy Valley this weekend. What's your take on that? And where do you think the money's going to come in as the week goes?
Yeah, it's going to be one of our better games of the Saturday slate. Good game here. They typically in these games here for us, Dave, they bet us pretty evenly. Mm. I mean, unless we have a big player that comes into the house. Now, if this was a SEC team and basically any SEC team playing either one of these two teams, it would probably be bet differently. But, we're at 4 right now and 47.5. And to be honest with you, I don't think we'll move a whole lot off of this.
Yeah. How about let's talk about last Sunday. What was the biggest shock game for you that the book was able to come through on that you needed a team to come through for you?
The only bad outcomes that we had, Mike, was, the Lions, they were laying 11.5. They got there easy. And then San Francisco actually, laying 4, they got there. And that's unusual because normally, we need the other way, but, it was one of those Sundays. It started off for us, this Jaden Daniels and what a play. I mean, but look, I think the initial, we always talk about the overreactions. Okay. So this line was it flipped back and forth once they said Jaden was playing. But look, I got to be honest with you. I had Washington -2.5 with Mariota. I just think that they're so talented, with their skill players that I didn't think it was going to matter that much there. But that was a good outcome for us. The Browns winning outright. And look at Jameis Winston. I mean, what a, pretty good game for him. Cardinals winning outright. And again, I think there what we seen there was an overreaction to Tua coming back. But for them to have the ability to win out right there and look, Beep Beep, who Mike likes to talk about. I mean, give the guy some credit. He had 307 yards, I think. He didn't get sacked. A couple of touchdowns, no intercepts. That was good there for us. We're always bet heavily the Saints.
Yeah.
So the Chargers coming through and covering that spread was nice. And then the Eagles winning outright, and particularly in that game, we had a large player in the house. The thing that set that game up for us was the fact that they were able to score right at the end of the first half to tie it up, because we had a large wager the other way. We needed that there. The guy doubled down second half, and then, of course, the Eagles dominated there. So that was a big day for us. But, yeah, good day for us. The only two bad outcomes were the Lions and San Francisco.
It felt like the Bengals were kind of in control there, 10-3, and then that late touchdown, Carl, that you're alluding to, got that thing even, and it was all fly, Eagles fly in that second half. I'm glad you brought up the Saints because I wanted to get the lay of the land from where you are down there in Beau Rivage. 26-8, just an ugly football game. Like, I don't even know if it was actually played. When you look at the Saints now with six straight losses, are people still running to the window to back Dennis Allen and this football team?
Look, Dave, these rednecks down here, they're going to play. They're going to play LSU. They're going to play the Saints. I mean, they're going to play their teams. You know, they can't come in here and not play their team. So I think what we have seen, though, is they are a little bit more leery now. The Saints are in trouble, man. I mean, you can feel the vibe. You know, a few years ago, people would come in, they're real upbeat, you know, no doubt in their mind the Saints were going to play well, win, but it's not the case right now. So it's going to be interesting here the last, 8 weeks of the season. Oof. So we'll see. Yeah.
It's not pretty. You got backup quarterback, offensive line can't hold up. I mean, it was an ugly game yesterday. I mean, Rattler, they had to take him out. They went to Jake Horner. I mean, the Chargers are just doing what we all thought would happen, right? They're really well coached, and they don't look pretty when they do it, but they win games, and they just keep doing it. How about tonight, Carl? What I know it's both two Northeast teams. You're a Southern sports book. The other thing we have to do is we got to know what's on the menu, Carl. Well, you know, one thing I've missed not having you on Saturday shows, we don't even know what's on the menu anymore.
Yeah.
You know, and so, but I want to know about tonight's game and what's on the menu.
Yeah. So, it's been bet pretty evenly here so far. We're going to end up needing the Giants. Right now we're at 6 and 36.5. They're going to play Pittsburgh here. And to be honest with you, I like Pittsburgh. I don't think, from a betting aspect, I couldn't bet the Giants right now. But, as far as the menu goes, before I came up this morning, I put a Mississippi pot roast in my crock pot.
Ooh.
It's got some potatoes in there, some carrots, and I'm not going to eat it with rice today. I'm going to put it in a po' boy bun. And that's the way we're going to go.
Oh boy.
That sounds delicious, Carl. By the way, for where you are, and look, Michael's already walked me off the ledge for the Cowboys, a 3-1 to make the postseason. I just looked. I saw LSU is 2-1 to make the college football playoff. Are people still going to nibble at that with what you're cooking down there? Because it gives LSU 2-1 plus money to make the college football playoff. You think that ship has sailed?
Yeah, I think they ought to be like 5-1, to be honest with you. They'll play it. The answer is yes, they will play it. I think they've got trouble in Tiger Town.
Ooh.
You know, that's the type of games that you just gotta win. You just gotta, you gotta get there. And the fact that, they haven't been able to do that get some teams that, at least these Tiger fans think that they should beat, that's trouble.
I think to me that was – I thought they were in control of that game at halftime, Carl, and wow, did it flip. I mean, of course, I think changing the quarterback for Texas A&M was probably the right thing. I don't know how you go with Wegman. You went into that game thinking he was the starter. I don't know about you, Dave, but that was like, okay, I've seen enough of this guy. I think we need to change quarterbacks.
Yeah, I was stunned by that as well. And again, 38-23 is the final there. Not only do you lose, but you kind of lose badly when you look at that final score. So not saying LSU is dead in the water, Carl, at 2-1. And you're right, they're probably still going to play it. Very quickly, as we wrap up, you mentioned down there that you guys needed the Cowboys. Is Louisiana not Cowboy country anymore? People were betting the Niners last night, Carl?
Yeah, they were. I mean, look, they've been Dallas has struggled, and I guess that's one of the teams down here where, they will get off of the Cowboys here. But they've been struggling. I didn't understand the timeout there late in the game with 3:35 left, second down.
Yeah.
But there's a lot I didn't understand about that game, so I don't know.
Yeah, a lot I don't understand about Cowboy football anymore, Carl, that's for sure. Great catching up with you, man. I really appreciate you joining us here on the Progressive Guest Line. We'll do it again next week.
You guys are going to kill it. Let's go.
Let's go, baby. When we come
back, thank you, Carl.
We'll put a finishing bow on this edition of the Lombardi Line.
This is the Lombardi Line on VSiN, the sports betting network.
We continue the Lombardi Line. Dave Ross and Michael Lombardi going to get to our Monday night preview here in a second, Michael. But I don't know if you saw this over the weekend. You know, you think about those legendary Miami Heat teams, right, with Chris Bosh and Dwayne Wade and LeBron James. It is nice. They honored Dwayne Wade with a statue, Michael. Did you see this statue? Because who the hell is this, Michael? Can you tell me what this is?
I have no idea, Dave. I saw Stormy tweeted it out. Like, Stormy had the greatest line. She said, you know, we can have cars that drive themselves, but that's Dwayne Wade.
Oh, my goodness.
She's right. I mean, like, what are we doing here? Like, this is horrible. I feel bad. I love the Heat. I love Wade, and it's great he has a statue. But, I mean, 20 years from now, you think anybody's going to know who the hell that is?
No, and apparently he said on a hot mic, he said himself, who the hell is that? That's you. That's supposed to be.
I mean, I don't know how the guy looked at it. I mean, I don't know how Dwayne Wade looks up there and says, oh, there I am. I mean, the number's me.
Oh, my goodness.
But I don't even think the body looks like him. I think it's completely. Sometimes I don't understand the guy. The Hall of Fame ones are bad, but it's brutal. I mean, this is brutal. I feel bad for the Heat. The intentions were great.
Right.
But didn't somebody say during this process, you know, that doesn't look like Wade. Like, didn't somebody – it's like, of course, I say that, but didn't somebody say, you know, Deshaun Watson's not playing very well analytically. That didn't happen. You know, didn't somebody say Anthony Richardson isn't a quarterback in the NFL? Of course, that didn't happen. So – I mean, these things happen to statue. It happens to football teams everywhere. Like, are you kidding me? Are we kidding ourselves with this? Like, didn't somebody stop it and say, wait a minute? I mean, are we that blind? Or maybe you got to wear glasses to look at it. I don't know.
I'm not a sculptor. I don't want to pass judgment on that person's work. That's what they do for a profession. But if that's the final project, I'm like, we got to redo that thing. We can just, at some point, we got to redo the face. That is not Dwayne
Wade.
I mean,
I wouldn't pay for it. I mean, I wouldn't have paid the guy for it. Like, you're not getting your money for that. Like, I could get my two-year-old granddaughter. She could come up with something like this. Sienna could put something together like this. Of course, she's going to want to get paid in advance.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
I mean, that's a whole other story. But the reality of this, I wouldn't pay for this. Are you kidding me?
No.
This is embarrassing.
No chance I'm paying.
Pat Riley, I'm like, that's embarrassing. And again, it goes back to, like, oftentimes all the problems that we face are because nobody said something. Like, okay, if you're Shane Steichen, like, at some point, Shane, I know you want to play this guy. I know you drafted him. I understand that. The organization has a lot at stake here. But we only get to play 17 of these games every week. Like, we're just going to throw it out the window? We're just going to throw it out the window? We're just going to give away games to the Houston Texans? Same thing. I mean, you know, look, there's so many bad teams that could be better. I mean, let's face it. Think about this. Joe Flacco comes off the bench, saves the Browns season. Jameis Winston, of all people, comes off the bench and might save the Browns season. I mean, look, the one thing that's different about the Browns and the Bengals, the Browns can play defense.
Right.
The Browns can stop the run and play defense. I mean, they did as good a job as you're going to do on Lamar Jackson and Derrick Henry. They gave up yards. They played good in the red zone. They did that. But to me, I'd have a better time back in the Browns without Deshaun than I would back in the Bengals with that horrendous defense and Zach Taylor's softness. I mean, I'm out.
So, Michael, is that the big kind of aerial view of week eight? We're going to wrap it up tonight, obviously, with Monday Night Football. That, like, when you look at the Colts at 4-4, right, that they're right there in the mix for a playoff spot in the AFC, and we don't know how this AFC is going to play out with teams that we thought were going to be good that aren't. Like, we got to look at the other 52 guys in that locker room and say, you know, this isn't all about one guy. It's got to be about the other 52 as well, correct?
Well, how do you have a standard if you tolerate poor play from him and he keeps playing and you don't tolerate poor play from someone else? How do you have a standard? You can't have a standard, right? So to me, one thing I think we learned this weekend is that now we're into week 9, and it's a physical. Now the games are getting more physical, and the teams that have physicality, you know, I think what what Rich Gannon said about Washington is so true earlier in the show, where he talked about Washington has improved. Look, they're not good on defense, but they have gotten better. You can see Washington practices, right? And Washington has gotten better on their side of the ball. Green Bay, Minnesota, Philly. Philly has gotten better. I know they haven't played great teams. Philly will struggle against good passing teams. But look, Philly has gotten better defensively. They have. I mean, they gave up a bunch of third downs yesterday. They couldn't get off the field. They can't cover, right? They cannot cover. But they were able to get the lead, control the game with their offense in the run game, and they made big plays down the field. That's the Eagles' recipe. So to me, it comes back to who's physical. Tampa used to be a physical team. Their defense is just nothing we've seen. They've had this happen before, a lot of injuries. I thought San Francisco's defense stepped up yesterday. That was the best I've seen them play in a while. But I think a lot of this, the next second half of the season starts now. And if you don't have physicality, if you don't have toughness and you're not practicing, I mean, Miami's 2-5. They went on a bye week and they don't practice. I mean, they beat New England and they beat Jacksonville in the opener. I mean, their strength of schedule is the wins are 250. I mean, it's horrible. They don't practice. There's no physicality to the team. And again, I'm going to keep saying this until I'm blue in the face. In the fourth quarter, you got to win the game.
Right.
And you got to run the ball or you got to stop the run. And Miami couldn't do that. Miami went 3-and-out. They had to punt it back and they lose the game. There's just too many of these teams that have taken the approach, we're not going to practice, we're going to walk through it, and we're not getting better.
It shows in some of the tackling in the fourth quarter. These teams wear down and they cannot tackle. And that's how you lose football games like the Dolphins did in that fourth quarter against Arizona. Michael, let's get to one of your best bets here. And it's going to involve that Monday night game. And of course, our best bets are brought to us by GBank, the official bank of VEASAN. That leads us to Monday night football. The Giants are getting 6 in the Steel City. The total sitting at 36.5. And, you know, the Steelers have been a really nice, pleasant surprise here at 5-2. The Giants at 2-5. But, Michael, sometimes, even though it's a three-game difference, these teams might be closer than what the records show.
Well, you know, to me, I do Russo every Friday. He went 0-3. We'll never hear anything about that. You talk about somebody who can bury the lead of anything. I'm 1-1 now. I took Seattle and I took Dallas in the points last night, which was a mistake, obviously. But I also took the Giants. Now, I took them knowing Scott Novak's going to be our official tonight. I say that painfully because I know there'll be a lot of laundry on the field, and so it'll be a sweat. But I just thought 6 was too many points for Pittsburgh. I think Pittsburgh likes to play in close games. I know they went out and beat Vegas and they took that game over. But I think this is the Giants' season. I think this is one of those they can't look bad on national TV. They've got to show something. They did against the Cowboys when they played them on Thursday night. So they gave the Bengals as good a game as you can, and that late touchdown kind of let the spread come into play. But you know, I like that. Novak's 47-70 as against the home team as an official.
Wow.
So as much as I want to make him out to be, you know, the problem of the game, I think that's the case. And I just think, to me, the Giants have to be able to control the football. But I think the Giants defensive front can give Russell Wilson some trouble. If they play to the level that they played against Philly before it melted down in the second half, they'll have a chance to be in this game in the fourth quarter. That's all I'm looking for. Do I think Pittsburgh wins? Yeah. But I think it's a field goal game.
Yeah, I tend to agree. I do think it's going to be, and again, the point total there at 36.5 shows you the points should be at a premium tonight. So I'd rather be on the side of taking those 6 than laying it. Of course, the GBank Visa Signature Card is your best bet, delivering 1% cashback rewards on eligible gaming transactions, 2% cashback rewards on all other eligible purchases. For more information, head to VSiN.com/GBank. That's VSIN.com/GBank, subject to credit approval. Terms and conditions do apply. Michael, got about 90 seconds here to wrap this up. Again, when I'm looking at this game tonight, and we talked about the quarterback change here going to Russell Wilson, everybody's on board in the Steel City because Mike Tomlin sets that tone, right? So that's not an issue when he makes that quarterback change.
Even Justin Fields was on board because, you know, he said, look, I didn't play good enough. I mean, that's a sign of a good culture within your building. Give him credit for that. I think that's really important. So, look, I hope it's a good game tonight. Look, Daniel Jones is going to have to make some plays. Neighbors is going to have to make some plays down the field. But Pittsburgh's not used to being almost a touchdown favorite.
Yeah, and by the way, I love the way you phrase that, because Justin Fields, if you heard those comments, people, exactly what Michael's alluding to. He's like, look, this is not my job. I did not do a good enough job to demand to keep it. And I think that really helps in the locker room as well. Michael, a lot of fun. Let's do it again tomorrow, my man. I really appreciate the time and love talking football with you.
Yeah, we'll do it tomorrow morning. Thank you, David.
Absolutely. And everybody, don't go anywhere, because you stay tuned right now after the Lombardi Line. We got a numbers game. Matt Brown is going to be in for Gil Alexander today, followed by Money Moves, Stormy Bonatoni, and Jeff Schwartz at noon Eastern. And then you can stick around for Prop Points with John Hansen at 2 p.m. Eastern time. So for Michael Lombardi, I'm Dave Ross. We'll see you tomorrow right back here on the Lombardi Line.